It is time for class number 140 of the Warren County Radio Bible School. And we're glad you can attend this class today. We're going to continue our study of Jesus, the great physician, studying that passage from Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 26, where Jesus healed the man that had palsied after being let down, but removing the tiles, letting him down in front of him. Remember how Jesus said at first, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," and then to demonstrate he had power to do that, he said, "Arise, take up thy bed and walk." And so the title of this lesson, Jesus the Great Physician. And with this study, we'll be returning to Elam's notes on a Sunday school lesson he had written for November the 5th, 1922. Now, while you're turning to that passage in the book of Luke, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. And the lesson for today, Jesus has entered into a house at Capernaum. And Elam had a few notes here on what it was like to be in an oriental house in those days. It is said that in order to understand the story that follows, it is necessary to have a clear idea of an oriental house. The houses are usually one story, with a flat roof and outside stairs to the roof, for during the heat of summer the family would sleep there. The rooms are large. The houses of better class consist generally of a blank wall facing the street with a narrow doorway in the center, opening to a courtyard to which there is no other access. Around three sides of this square are attached chambers, sometimes wholly or partially enclosed, sometimes with only pillars supporting the roof, between which curtains may be hung. The principal or reception room is on the side facing the entrance. At the farther end of it, against the wall, runs a raised dais with a few cushions. Besides these and perhaps a few scraps of carpet, there's rarely any furniture. The poorer houses have no upper story, but whether there is an upper story or not, the roof is invariably flat, covered with earth and lime, whitewashed, and frequently pressed down by use of stone rollers. The house was covered with tiles. This house was where Jesus was at this time, Luke chapter 5 and verse 19. The flat roof was furnished with battlements around the edge, as is required by the law in Deuteronomy 22 and verse 8, and Judges 16:27, and 2 Samuel 11 and verse 2. And these battlements were to prevent people from falling off of the walls. Now, we read in Luke 5:17, 18, and 19, "It came to pass on one of those days that he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of law sitting by, who were come out of every village of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, men bring on a bed a man that was palsied, and they sought to bring him in and to lay him before him. And not finding by what way they might bring him in, because of the multitude, they went up to the housetop to let him down through the tiles with his couch into the midst before Jesus." Elam's notes read as follows. As soon as it was understood that Jesus was in the house, great crowds gathered to see and to hear him, so there was no longer room for them, no, not even about the door. The room was full, the court was full, and the narrow street into which the gate opened was full. Among the crowds were the Pharisees and doctors of the law, scribes who had come out of every village of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, attracted by his fame, to inquire into these new and strange things that were taking place. And he spake unto them the word of God, the gospel of the kingdom of God, preaching as he did in Matthew 4:17, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The pure gospel, which heals the sin-sick soul, is the only thing worthy to be preached to dying audiences. We read over and over in the book of Acts and in the epistles about the importance of preaching the gospel. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, "Many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. In Acts 13 and 5, verse 5, it says, "When they were in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews." In Acts 14, verses 6 and 7, we read how that Paul and Barnabas had come to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. In Acts 14, 21 and 22, it says, "The next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when he had preached the gospel in that city, he had taught many." In Acts chapter 15 and verse 7, we read that Peter rose up and said unto them, "Men and brethren, you know that how a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe." Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others. In Acts 18, verses 8 through 11, Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul by night in a vision, "Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Paul would write to the young man Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 2, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine." You know, it would be a wonderful thing, I would think, to have the gift of healing, to go into the midst of those who were suffering, and to either speak the word or lay hands upon them so that they would be healed of their physical infirmities. But while I do not have such a gift, and no one has that miraculous gift today, we have something that is even better. We have the gospel of salvation, and we can preach and teach the gospel to those who are lost and dying in sin, and heal them of the sinful infirmities that they have, and bring them in whole and in peace to God. And so the pure gospel, which heals the sin-sick soul, is the only thing worthy to be preached to dying audiences. A man with a palsy was carried to Jesus. Palsy is a contraction of paralysis, and included more than what we now know as paralysis. It can include things called causing excessive cramps or lockjaw. This poor paralytic could not walk, but four kind friends bore him in arms of love to Jesus. When they approached the house, they could not reach Jesus. They could not come nigh unto him for the crowd, the streets about the door being full. They could not reach the door. Finding no other way to reach Jesus, they ascended the outside stairs to the roof and broke it up or dug through it and let down the sick man on his bed in the midst of the crowd before Jesus. It was not very difficult to lower him through the low, flat roof. If any damage was done to the roof, it could be easily repaired. Much more important is a man in his sickness than it is a roof. the most important thing was to reach Jesus. Now, faith without works is dead. Let me read to you from Luke chapter 5, verses 20, and I want to read down through, well, I'll just read verse 20. Luke 5 and verse 20, it says, Jesus, seeing their faith, he said, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Look how it says, Jesus, seeing their faith. Do you know what it is to see faith? Well, it is to see the actions that result from faith. Elam's note says their faith, meaning the faith of the five persons, the paralytic and the four who bore him, that Jesus saw their faith. Then their faith could be seen. It was seen in their efforts to get in the presence of Jesus. They overcame difficulties. They had all confidence in Christ's power to heal if they could get to him. And they manifested strong faith in surmounting all difficulties which lay in their way. Faith apart from works is dead. Faith apart from works is barren. I want to read to you from James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. And this is a passage that many will either just dismiss or try to explain away in their theology. But they better take heed. James wrote in James 2 and verse 14, What doth it profit, my brethren, if a man say he hath faith, but hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and lack of daily food, and one of you shall say unto him, Go in peace, and be warmed and filled, and yet ye give them not the things that are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead in itself. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith apart from thy works, and I by my works will show thee my faith. Thou believest that God is one, well, thou doest well. The devils also believe and shudder. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith apart from works is barren? Was not Abraham our father justified by works, in that he offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? Thou seest that faith worked with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only, and not only by faith, as it says in the American Standard Version. And in like manner, was not also Rahab the harlot justified by works, in that she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, even so faith apart from works is dead. The men that brought the paralytic to Jesus did not have a dead faith, but an active faith. This principle of God's dealing with men runs throughout the Bible. Hebrews 11 is an illustration of this. The long, worthy list of the faithful enumerated in that chapter all did something by faith in Christ Jesus. We read, For as many of you as were baptized in marching around the wall, as in marching around the walls of Jericho, that act of faith must be performed, Hebrews 11 and verse 30, by faith. The bitten Israelites looked upon the brazen serpent, and they were healed. We read in Numbers chapter 21 and verse 9, Moses made a serpent of brass and set it on the standard. And it came to pass, if a certain had bitten any man, when he looked into the serpent of brass, he lived. It was not enough just for him to believe that that serpent, looking on that serpent, would heal him. He actually had to look on him to be healed. That's as far as we're going to get today in our study. You make sure you turn in for the next time, and don't be late for the class of the Warren County Radio Bible School. You'll know it when you hear that bell. And join us for worship if you can. at the Rock Cliff Church of Christ.